Robin Sorn, Second Samuel. Second Samuel. Chapter number 13. Second Samuel, chapter number 13. Thank God for saving me this morning. Thank you for the privilege of being staying behind the sacred beds. Second Samuel, chapter number 13. If you're willing and able, we'll ask you to stand in reverence and reading. Here's the word of the Lord. Second Samuel, chapter number 13, verses number 1 through verse number 5. Came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. She was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, son of Shimeah, David's brother. Jonadab was a very subtle man. He said unto him, Why art thou, being the king's son, weaned from day to day? But thou not tell me. Then Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother, Absalom's sister. Jonadab said unto him, Lay thee down on thy bed. Make thyself sick. When thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come, give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand. Correctly reading our text this morning, 2 Samuel chapter number 13, verse number 1 through verse number 5, you can be seated and trust the Lord will add his blessings to the reading and the hearing of his word. Integrity was said by one man as the quality of being honest and trustworthy, presenting uprightness in character. If we was to evaluate or even make a list of qualities this morning that we seek for in a friend, in a spouse, whatever the case may be, no doubt among us this morning there would be a list of many different qualities that we would look for. And those qualities that we would base friendships on, or what we would look for in a spouse, would be based on situations and people that we've come in contact with from the past, from the present, and even Brother Tony, what we would hope we could find in the future. Though our list would be many different terms that would vary upon our list, there's one underlying truth about all those qualities that we look for in a friend. It would be integrity. One article that I typed in when I was looking for qualities that we look for in a friend, the very first one that comes to the top of the list was integrity. Integrity was the number one. They said that a friend with integrity acts in alignment with their values and commitments. They have strong moral principles, knowing the difference between what is right and what is wrong. They don't fail to speak or act when their principles are violated. Solomon said in best, I believe, in Proverbs 27, verse number 6. Solomon said that faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I read this morning a passage of Scripture, and I want to harp in on this man by the name of Jonadab. I understand what the rest of the chapter consists of. I know how dark and how disturbing the picture of 2 Samuel chapter 13 is to the reading and the hearing when we read this chapter. But there was one man, Brother Tony, that could have possibly, with his words, with his friendship, with the position that he was in, could have determined what Amnon did. Amnon in his heart, Brother Tony, we know people are going to do what they're going to do. But there are times when if we're not careful, our words can fan the flame in what decision somebody makes in their lives. Jonadab was one of those men. When we read 2 Samuel chapter number 13, we know about Absalom, we know about Tamar, we know about Amnon, we know about David. We forget about a man by the name of Jonadab. I want to preach on that the Lord would be my helper this morning on the unruly counsel and the unrighteous deed. The unruly counsel and the unrighteous deed. Won't you notice what the Bible presents to us, that there are really several truths that it presents to us about the character here and how this scenario is laid out. Won't you notice about the passion that is secret? The passion that is secret. The Bible says in verse number 1, that Absalom had, the son of David had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar. Amnon, the son of David, loved her. We know very clearly this morning that it's familiar, that it's a family problem. We know biblically that it's wrong. Biblically, it does not belong. It should never happen. But regardless this evening of the picture that's painted here, we need to understand that every one of us has problems. That to somebody, somewhere, we all have problems that's familiar to somebody else. We all have skeletons in the closet. We all have problems. We all struggle with something. Yes. Sometimes, Brother Tony, it just takes one word to push a man or a woman in one direction or the other. Deuteronomy 27 and verse 22, Leviticus chapter number 20 and verse number 17 tells us that what was going on here biblically between the family was forbidden. May I say this evening, what God still forbids then, He still forbids now. What God was against then, He's still against now. God never changes His mind. God does not fluctuate based on how our flesh tickles. God's Word will always stand the test of time. But there's friction. There's friction. Won't you notice here, Proverbs 7, in Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 30, I want to read something to you real quickly. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 30. Find the place. Proverbs 14, chapter number 30, the Bible says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Friction. Amnon is so tore up, Brother Tony, about the situation that it's beginning to make him sick like rottenness to the bones. It begins to get him in a place where he can't function. He does not have an appetite. He don't want to eat, don't want to see any food. The Bible says that his problem made him sick. Passion that is secret. I've often wondered why it seems like months down the road, days down the road, weeks down the road, somebody had a problem, a hidden problem in their life. Why did they come to an almighty God? Why could they come to a brother or a sister in the church of the living God and get some help for the life? Because we've conditioned people, Brother Tony, to the point to where they feel like they can't come to us. Preachers have conditioned people where they feel like they can't come to a man of God anymore. Talk to them. So our natural instinct is to go to somebody outside the church. Get advice from somebody that's not in the house. Somebody that's not part of the family of God. Unruly counsel and the unrighteous deed. Won't you notice that there's a person with a scheme? The Bible says this, Amnon was so vexed, he fell sick, and his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But notice this, but Amnon had a friend, whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Their family. This is the same bloodline of David. And the Bible, and it even goes so far to say that they're not just family, but they're friends. They're in the same house, they're of the same house, and he uses that word subtle. The word subtle is used in a technical, as a technical term. Simply meaning that he's skillful. He's wise in administration. He's very crafty. He's very cunning. I looked up the word subtle. But it's only three times it's only mentioned in your Bible. And you know the first time that the word subtle is ever mentioned? Remember back in the Garden of Eden, there was a serpent. This little woman by the name of Eve comes walking through. And the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And he enticed her. He cunningly and crafted. He persuaded her just for a few moments to go against what God had instituted for her life. What God wanted her to do. What God wanted her to be. I'm telling you, if there's anything that we need to be cautious of, it's cunningly and crafty devices that God does not want us to fall. And the devil will try to get a loophole in our life and mess us up. We need to be careful. So, I want you to notice what he does in verse number 4. There's a person with a scheme, there's a passion that is secret, but there's pleasantry in his speech. There is pleasantry in his speech. The Bible says in verse number 4, and he said unto him, why art thou? Notice this phrase, being the king's son. Lean from day to day, wilt thou not tell me? Notice the flattery refers to him as the king's son. He don't come to him, Brother Tony, and say, well, and on you, my buddy. We used to play with Tonka trucks down there in the sandbox. We was young. We friends. No, he says, you're the king's son. You're one of them king boys. I'm going to tell you, if you're a child of God, you know who you are. You know who you are. And you know what you can do and what you can't do. Like what Brother Rick Safer said. Brother Rick Safer said, people want to pray about what's right and what's wrong. That's not how we pray as children of God. We pray for what is better and what is best. We know the difference as children of God. As adults, we know the difference in what is right and what is wrong. But maturity and wisdom says, seek what's better and not what's best.
do whatever you want to. Can I tell you something? I'm sick and tired of people using the grace of God as a license to sin. Well, you're saved. God justifies you from your present, from your past, your present, and your future. But that don't give you a right to mess up and slap him in the face. It's the king's son. Flattery. You know how the world's going to get you to entice you? You know how the devil, how your flesh will entice you to mess up? With words of flattery. Words of flattery. But he looked at him like he was concerned, Brother Tony, because he said he appealed to his frailness. He says, why are you lean from day to day? Why can't you hold any substance in your men? Why? Why are you losing weight, Edmond? I care about you, brother. Tell me why you're losing weight. He discloses his folly, Brother Tony, and this is what he says. He says, in verse number 4, I love table. Can I tell you, we need to be very careful. More than we've ever been in this generation, who we tell our problems to. Who we tell our secrets to. I remember an old preacher told me one time, Brother Tony, he said, you know what, the devil wouldn't know my problems if I didn't tell him. Because he's not omnipresent. He can't hear everything that's going on. If I wouldn't confess and tell him, man, I'm struggling with it. He said, I got to the point in my life where I'm praying, privately, I'm praying, where I don't have to open my mouth. And sometimes I just write it on a piece of paper to where the devil can't hear it. And I tell you something, and I hate to say this, Brother Tony, but I believe y'all got something special here at St. John's. Not every church has what you have. But I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, you better be careful who you disclose your secrets to in the church house. Not everybody that says they love you in church is concerned. Not everybody that'll come and put their arm around you, not everybody that's getting on. Not everybody gets in the altar and sheds tears. That doesn't mean that they care. You see, brother, you're awful hard about it this morning. I just know how people are, Brother Tony. And a lot of times, they get here in the altar with you because it makes them look good. Not because they care. A person with a scheme, pleasantry in his speech. I want you to notice this, the painting of the scene. He paints the scene. Notice this, what he says in verse number 5. Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on the bed, make thyself sick, when my father come to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come, give me meat, dress the meat in my sight, and I will see it and eat at her hand. He fabricates the whole story. You know why Amnon can do that? You know why people can tell you how to fix your problems? Because it's not their problem. You know how people can tell you how to get out of a messed up situation? You know what, Brother Tony, when my mama left my daddy, I remember this as a 13-year-old boy. The people that was telling me what I needed to do and how I needed to fix my problem was people that never went through a divorce. People whose lives, it seemed like, had never got messed up. And they just say this, I'm going to tell you how you paint the scene. How you fix your problems. How you fabricate everything. And it'll be okay. You know how it's not his problem. It doesn't affect me. Tamar's not his dog. Amnon's not his son. Israel is not his kingdom. And he's making an unruly council. that leads to an unrighteous deed. Notice this. He keeps appealing to the Father with atoning. He says, the Father, the King. When the Father comes, when you talk to your Father, when you talk to the King. But he says it, Brother Tony, in a way that is not out of fear. He don't fear David. Amnon don't fear David. You know why we make unrighteous decisions as children of God? Because we've stopped fearing the throne. We have sought unruly counsel that has led us in 2023 to some unrighteous deeds. All because we do not fear the Father. All we had to say, this is what's at stake. Purity is at stake. The purity of the church in decisions that you make, the purity of your testimony is at stake. Prosperity is at stake. Peace is at stake. So before we make an unrighteous decision, before we seek unruly counsel, we need to remember as a church of the living God, as people that are abiding in the kingdom, that are about to, that are supposed to be about the Father's business, what's at stake? You know, all he had to do, this is David's boy. This is David's family. And all he had to do was flip over. Jonadab said, David, let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what you need to do. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Hey, brother, you got a problem. Get in the book.
Yes.
Get back, Amnon, to the book. Then he also had Psalm 119, Brother Tony. Verse number 9. Jonadab's brother, I got a problem. And he can help me with the problem. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How can I fix the problem? The book. Still the book. What can put families back together? Thank God it's still the book. Preacher, you don't have any idea. There's been some people that's let me down. There's been some people that's tried to counsel me through my problems, and it's never worked out. Proverbs said there is a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. And Brother Tony, there's not been one time that a counsel has ever let me down. He's holy. He's righteous. He's been a good friend and he's been a good counselor. All in time, Brother Tony, Mary and Martha called them friends, called the disciples friends, as messed up as all those people were. And as many times as they're going to do their thing, regardless of what Jesus said, I'm going to do it my way. Jesus still come to them, loved on them. And all Jonadab had to do. Only thing Amnon needed was a man in his life that he could have went to and said, I need a friend to point me in the right direction. Because I'm about to make a decision in my life that's going to mess me up. Brother Tony, a member preacher years ago told me, he sat me down, we're sitting there in his study. And this is what he told me. Is this my will? I'm going to drink out my will from that. But I remember he came to me and he said, he sat in his study. I was talking to him about his youth group. I was talking to him about, he was excited about He was tickled to death by how the Lord had blessed his church. And he told me, he said, I want to tell you, he said, there's one that's missing here in my church. It's not here. He said, it's my daughter. He said, my daughter used to sing in the youth choir. Kind of such a God on her life. Said it just like she could bring people in. She would befriend people, bring them in, and she'd win them because of her life that she lived. She had a testimony. And she just loved people. But she got lonely. She's waiting. She's praying all these years that God send her a man. God send her a husband. And she got impatient. There's a boy that come and went and got her attention, caught her eye. Lost boy. Out of church. He comes. Starts sitting there at the church for a period of time. So he ends up getting her out of church. She thinks she can win him. He gets her out of church. He gets a phone call one night. He had heard some stuff about his daughter and her and him. They were doing some things he ought not be doing. He got a phone call one night. She's crying. She says, Daddy, will you come get me? She said, he said, you're going to kill me. She says, Daddy, please, hurry, come get me. He said he went to that apartment. He opened the door, and he's got his arm wrapped around his daughter's neck with a 45 to her head. He said, Preacher, I just thought you'd want to see the show. Been waiting on you. He pulls back the hammer. And he says, the last image that he has of his daughter is her lunging to him. And he's looking into her eyes. And all he can keep hearing, Brother Tony, is, Daddy, come quick. Daddy, help me. I want to tell you, I don't want to hear anymore about people messing up. I want to hear people getting closer.
Yes.
I want to hear about people that's getting help for their life. Not seeking any more ungodly counsel. Somebody that just wants to scrooge up close to him. Because I'm telling you, somebody always gets hurt. And 9 times out of 10, it's the person that commits the deed. Sister, will you come play something softly? All heads are bowed and all eyes are closed. I don't know this morning where you are. And I don't know what you need for your life. But if you need some good counsel this morning, there's a Savior that'll help you. Young man, I'm telling you, the best thing for you to do is get you a Paul in this church. Get you a Paul that you can learn from and glean from that will help you to not mess your life up. These ain't perfect men. But you've got some cream of the crop here this morning. Learn from them. All heads are bowed. Let's stand this morning while she plays. Young women.